up, everybody? It's 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports. No, I'm just kidding. What's up? What's going on, guys? It's After Hours. Drew Nixon, Jacob Mustard with the beats tonight. Producing the show. And myself, Mac Morey, with you all for the next 2 hours. I like this vibe, though. We're getting into love tonight.
Should have dim the lights, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Actually, we do need to turn off the overhead.
A candle lit After Hours today.
913-586-7965 to text into tonight's show of After Hours. We got a lot to talk about. I mean, it's playoffs, baby. It's started. It's begun. We're here. Chiefs football is just a few days away. Saturday, 3:30 pregame. We'll start here with Mitch, Dan Israel, your boy Kling, Danon, all those guys around noon. Before that, it'll be me and Drew from 9 to noon. So all day Saturday, and then after that, we'll have our new guy Logan Weber on. So all day Saturday, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Chiefs. It'll be coverage of Chiefs football from the 7 to 8.5. You are a full-on nerd. I don't know if that's to me, but if it is, that's pretty accurate. We got a lot on the docket today. We're going to talk left tackle.
Dang.
We're going to talk some QB legacy stuff. We'll get into Drew's neck of the woods as far as college football. The national title is set. We'll talk some playoff expansion. And my boy Sammy D with a rough 2 weeks. I want to talk about Sam Darnold at some point tonight. So 913-586-7965. My boy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a few of my boys who had a couple of weeks actually in the quarterback realm. So we'll get to all of it tonight. We are going to start out with some Chiefs stuff. I don't want to do the whole, what are your big concerns with the Houston Texans? Because I think most of the kingdom isn't like worried about Houston or losing this game. If the Chiefs were to lose this game, it would be because they got in their own way. It wouldn't be because the Texans showed some new side to them and they're this excellent team and this is the second coming of, or the new coming of rivalry and wow.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to be some new prestigious team in the AFC. I would say my only concern is the Chiefs getting in the way themselves and the fact that Drew, this team has actually, they're the only team in the playoffs that's seen this version of Kansas City.
Yeah, we go back, what was it, week
16.
16, shout out to Dusty for writing the scores up on the board every single week. 27-19, yeah, week 16. Because if you look, yeah, you're right, because if you think about the Bills, at week 11, it's a little bit too far away. Obviously, didn't have Charles Omenihu back, didn't have Hollywood Brown, weren't fully healthy, Jalen Watson was not playing. The Ravens
saw everybody
technically outside of Hollywood Brown and Charles Omenihu, but like they saw Jalen Watson, but
They didn't see DeAndre Hopkins.
They didn't see D-Hop as well. Yep. So
Kareem Hunt.
That makes it a little bit interesting, I think, in terms of they not knowing each other well, but knowing each other better than any of the other teams who are around. Not that that means that the upset's more probable because of that, but I think it helps Houston in a way. But just like it helps Houston out, it helps the Kansas City Chiefs because they also know Tank Dell's not going to be playing, which obviously helps things a little bit.
Huge hit for them.
Chiefs are also getting back some guys. It's not like Houston's getting anybody back like that. They are getting Azeez Al-Shaair back, which is their leading tackler. Of course, we know him for the dirty play.
He's kind of a dirty player.
Lawrence, the guy that's taken that on, I guess, the villain role, if you will, but he'll be back for Houston. But yeah, I think it's hard for you to say you're concerned when they're a favorite as much as they are. What is it, 8.5 now?
Yeah.
Something like that, 8.5 points.
It went down. It was 9.5.
It's hard to say that you're concerned about a team that had issues in its own division. CJ Stroud was up and down. The offensive line has not been very good for Houston over the course of time. Like, the Chiefs should be the ones winning this game, as is attributed by the spread of this game.
Well, and they beat a Chargers team who I had winning that game. Don't get me wrong. I was surprised at the outcome of that game. But you look at it in hindsight, you say, okay, well, the Texans are more talented than that Chargers team from just a 53-man roster to 53-man roster comparison on paper. They do have more talent. And Herbert played terribly, and we'll get to that later. But, I mean, he handed them the game literally four separate times, one of which wasn't his fault. But, I mean, ironically, that was the pick six, the pick that wasn't his fault. But either way, I mean, I didn't look at Houston after that game going, whoa, they have stepped up. They are hot. They have changed their identity. I looked at it and go, okay, they played fine. They were at home, and they took every ounce of momentum that the Chargers didn't capitalize on.
So this makes you more comfortable, the fact that they – or did it doesn't worry you at all that they saw this version of the Chiefs, or does it? Like, is there any reason to? Okay, they saw Tooney at left tackle. If they go Tooney left tackle, we know what he is. We know where we need to get better because he did a nice job. Like Will Anderson,
he did.
Will Anderson didn't have as much of a factor. Do you know how? Like, they were able to put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes, but he was able for the most part to sit in the pocket pretty well and deal.
And there were, and if you remember correctly, that was the first game after the ankle injury, after the Cleveland win, 21-7, where a lot of Chiefs fans, he
looked fine.
He looked great.
Because one of the first plays, he ran for a first down or whatever it was.
And he ran for a touchdown as well.
That's right.
Yeah, he ran for a touchdown. And there were running lanes in that. The point is there were actual running lanes because of the offensive line doing their assignments. Sometimes people forget that. Yes, a lot of that's Mahomes and knowing where to go and just being a magician, but also it helps when the offensive line actually is giving you the correct running lanes and he was able to follow those. It is somewhat of a concern to just say, okay, well, they may know Tooney's tendencies because Tooney hasn't played a lot of left tackle. There's not a lot of tape, but now that Will Anderson, Shaq Barrett, DeNico Autry, Danielle Hunter, all those guys have seen Tooney, they may know, okay, well, he likes to do this or he's really quick off the line or whatever it may be. I'm not going to get into left tackle verbiage that I'm not qualified to talk about, but I would say Joe Tooney, that would be the one concern. But I mean, and we'll get to left tackle coming up after here because that's a conversation too. It may not be Tooney, Drew. We'll get to that as well. But they did see Hollywood Brown. He didn't play a whole lot. He was great in that game in the flashes that we saw him. But I mean, there were some missed opportunities with Hollywood there. So mm-hmm. I feel like there's meat left on the bone there. DeAndre Hopkins, the conversation with him all season is what, 50% of the snaps, a lot of the time less. That's going to go up 70-80%, a revenge game.
Are we sure that it's actually going to go up, though?
100%. No pun intended.
I think you're right in the fact that it's, I don't know if you want to call it a revenge game. I mentioned that sort of deal on Cody and Cole. They're like, I don't know about that. I was like, well, it's his former team. You know, he didn't win much with them. I mean, they had a good season, obviously. He was a part of that team that couldn't pull it together and actually get the win over the Chiefs back whenever that was, 2019. But, you know, there's some blood there. There's a reason to turn up a little bit more, but I wonder how much of an uptick are we actually going to see because Hollywood's back? Because before Hollywood, you know, came in, he was still only having like 50% of the snaps. Are they going to give him that much more of what, you said what, 75-80%? Is that what you said? Are they going to give him a 25% uptick in terms of snaps, you think?
I really believe so. I really do.
I still desperately want to see they're in the red zone. Joe Burrow had this pass to T. Higgins, and the only reason I'm bringing up the Bengals, the only reason I'm bringing this up.
10 minutes and 46 seconds. Okay, gotcha. Just clocking it. Thank you.
The only reason I'm bringing this up is because I know Patrick Mahomes and D-Hop can do the exact same thing.
I do, yeah. That's a good take.
I know what you're talking about. I know you know what I'm thinking of. It's the corner route.
Yeah.
That Joe threw a dot and T. Higgins was able to go up and get the ball and get his feet down.
Yes.
The Chiefs have not done that a single solitary time. And I know, you know, just as well on the text line, you know, Mac, that Patrick Mahomes can make that same throw. D Hop, we've seen him make big time catches just like T. Higgins has done throughout his career. That can happen. And it provides another angle of your offense that you haven't shown yet. I want to see that one time with D-Hop because I think it would work. It'd be a touchdown.
I agree.
And everybody would absolutely love it because it'd be a hell of a throw from Mahomes, which is one, things that people love to see. And two, it's a great catch from D-Hop, which is like everybody goes back and says, hey, that's vintage D-Hop. That's prime D-Hop right there, going up and high-pointing a ball and scoring a touchdown. I wonder if he'll be strategically used a little bit more when we talk about the red zone, situationally still on those third downs where, you need a reliable guy who has good hands to catch the football.
Yes.
D-Hop is that wide receiver for you in your offense.
Well, and now you can disguise him with Xavier, the speedsters, Xavier and Hollywood.
He's gotten so much better over the last, and
absolutely.
He credited D-Hop as well for a reason how he's gotten better in terms of getting off the line, in terms of footwork and technique and those other things as well, which I think you and I even talked about that from the jump of D-Hop's impact immediately for the team is even if he's not giving you those 50 or the, if he's not giving you the 75-80% of the snaps, just him being in the room,
a leader
and
a
helping
teacher.
Xavier Worthy out along, and that was, I don't know when we talked about that. That was like week 9 or 10, something like that.
Yeah. It speaks to him as a teammate and who he is. He's a great guy. And Xavier Worthy shouting him out all season, basically, like, he's helped me out with routes. He's helped me out with my hands. He's helped me out knowing this playbook, knowing where to be. I mean, just that we're going to see Xavier have a big game. We're going to see DeAndre Hopkins have a massive game in the playoffs. That's been my take for the last couple weeks. We'll get to Hopkins and this sort of ulterior motives that he has in this game later on in the show, as this is kind of a revenge moment for him facing his former team and in a game that he was on the other side of just 5 years ago, 6 years ago now in 2019, when him and his former team, the Texans, were up 24-0 at Arrowhead. We remember how that ended. 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line to be a part of it. From the 913, D-Hop, Hollywood Worthy, going to see deep ball nobody seen all season. It's showtime, baby. I agree, 913. I'm getting excited. I'm getting ready. I don't know how I'm going to last 3 hours, Drew, on Saturday. It's going to be insane. I'm going to be jumping off the walls. Oh, it's going to be so good.
Because you're going straight to the game afterwards. You're on another. You're going to be juiced up.
You're going to be ready to go. Yes. There's some Fireball in the mini fridge there that's been there for a few weeks. I think I may snag some of that after I head out of here.
Feel free, because there's a lot of it in there.
Yeah, I've got an Uber that'll pick me up. I'm going to schedule it for noon. I'll get straight to the stadium, and we'll get it rolling, babe. For the 913, Go Chiefs. Got another text here. Kelsey, Diop, Hollywood, Kareem, Worthy, Juju, Watson, Pacheco, Mahomes. Weapons are in KC. Different team in the playoffs. Texans are going to find out. I agree, man. I'm there. I'm getting juiced up.
Keep an eye out on our social channels as well during the game.
Absolutely.
As things happen, like Mac will be there live. I think Gold will be there as well at the game.
Yep. We'll be posting videos of our reactions and different things like that. Bob will be there.
I'm just waiting for Clay Martin to go up, you know, and give Mahomes a little pat on the back on the sideline. Like, hey, man, nice job.
Good job, bud. Yeah, I don't think we'll get that.
No, I don't think so either.
No, that's just an AI, but it happens in real life with Josh Allen. After hours, we're here till 9 o'clock. Mac Morey, Drew Nixon, Jacob Mustard on the keys back there behind the glass. From the 913, they said the Texans are going to find out. We're going to find out at some point who's going to start at left tackle. When? We don't know. Maybe Saturday at 3:30, guys. But we want to hear from you who you think should be the anchor on that left side of the line. 913-586-7965. Here till 9 o'clock on After Hours. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Are you ready?
Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good. Jackson throws deep middle for the end zone. Intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Deion Bush. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown. Kansas City. McCole Hardman.
The back-to-back Super Bowl champions play right here. Your new home for Chiefs football is 96.5 The Fan.
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
It's After Hours.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet.
96.5 The Fan. Here till 9 o'clock.
Will your mouth still remember
Jacob Mustard, the taste of my love? The lovely, lovely Drew Nixon. And myself.
I appreciate you. I don't need you telling me that, Mac. I appreciate you.
Okay, all right. We're back. Okay, I'm just having fun. We're here till 9 o'clock.
I'm good with the vibe is calm.
Yeah, the vibe. I like it. It's calm. It's romantic. Good. I'm all about it. Never seen you in this light, Drew.
Okay. Yes, you have, because it's the same lighting.
It's the same light we have every time.
So I feel like the current is the same lighting as what we always have.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports again. Extended pregame with Drew and myself starting at 9 on Saturday. That'll lead right into Mitch Holtis and your boys starting at noon until game time, baby. Kickoff 3:30. It's going to be awesome.
We're going to have everybody join in. Bink's going to join. Yes. Rob, Dusty, Bob, Cody, Alex, Arrington.
Yep,
everybody.
Josh Prisco, if he's got time in the morning, we'll have him come on, see what his thoughts are. Yeah, man, we're going to get everyone on that we can and just see their thoughts. Listen to everyone throughout the week, and then, of course, give our thoughts and hear your thoughts from the text line, which is, of course, 913-586-7965. I want to hear from you now as well. We just got done talking about Houston, how they've seen this version of the Chiefs team. One of those relevant versions that we discussed was Tooney at left tackle. Well, that's not necessarily a for sure thing. There's rumblings that have gotten louder and louder as the week's gone further on that DJ Humphries might be the starter at left tackle. I don't really understand this, Drew. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on the text line. Of course, your thoughts as well, Jacob, if you have any at left tackle. I think there's pros and cons to both. I think that's how we kind of laid it out here tonight, Drew, as everyone's had this conversation. We just laid out the pros and cons. So you can go for it, Drew. Give us the pros of DJ and the cons.
Well, I think you and I both are on the are on the side real quick. I think we would say of Joe Tooney starting.
Yes. Give me Big Joe.
As is someone from the 913. Somebody suggested from the 816 that Bobby Witt starts at left tackle.
Oh, I like it.
We'll put him at wide receiver.
Slot receiver, yeah.
But, yeah, so the pros of DJ, it is his natural position. You know, he is a left tackle, has that experience. He's a former All-Pro at left tackle. So, you know, the reason they brought him in was to fill in that role at left tackle. The plan was never Joe Tooney. So part of me thinks that Andy Reid is going to go back to that, hey, we brought him in the first place to be the left tackle. So if he's good to go health-wise, and we feel any sort of way comfortable, if it actually is a, well, they're both, you know, healthy and good to go, it's just a matter of picking them, they might actually lean to DJ Humphries because that's the reason why they brought him in. It does also keep Joe Tooney at that natural position of left guard, the one that he's the best in the league at, a bona fide Hall of Famer at that position. There are some pros that come along with it. One of the cons, though, as we switch to that, he's got hurt, which obviously is not something that you want. That was like the first game in, too. He struggled a little bit at first, got better as the time went on. Hasn't been great, though, in both times that he's played.
He sucked, yeah.
Has not been great, which I think can give you some... It gives you cause for concern because of it being the time of year it is in the season.
Yeah, it's go time.
I think one of the biggest things, along with him not playing, is... You might say, well, they can always bring Joe Tooney in if he struggles.
Yep.
The problem, though, with that is, what if the one play that he struggles...
100%.
Somebody hits Mahomes, and he's concussed. He tweaks the ankle again.
Yep.
He gets hurt worse, and he literally cannot return to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it's only DJ Humphries' fault, necessarily, but it may be maybe it would have happened with Joe Tooney there as well. But why would you risk that, knowing it's an option that... hasn't been great for you over the last few weeks, where Joe Tooney, as much as he is great at left guard, as much as he is a Hall of Famer at that position, an All-Pro at that position, if you know you've had more, as we transition to the pros, Mac, of Joe Tooney, and you can take that from here, you're getting somebody who has provided some stability. Nate Taylor said it when they brought in Wanye, however many weeks ago. You only need sustainable left tackle play. You just need
competent.
Like, you just
average,
need competent. That's literally all you need.
Yes.
And Joe Tooney has provided that over the last few weeks, and making that transition, I think, makes us both feel a little bit uneasy, because there's a mistake that can happen. And if that mistake happens and it happens to cost you your starting quarterback, I don't, not to say Carson Wentz can't get the job done, but if it's anything like what we saw in week 18, hang in the job done.
GG's. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't care who's playing left tackle. I don't care if it's Willie Rope out there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, at that point, it won't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, other pros for Tooney. I mean, yeah, like you said, he's the only semblance of competence that we've seen this year. The whole line looked better. I mean, it's not that they haven't tried. Listen, they tried Wanye for a long time. It was terrible. They tried Kingsley. It was an utter embarrassment. They tried DJ for a week. He got hurt. And now here we are in January 15th. They've tried. And the one time the line looked good and that Mahomes was kept somewhat safe, only sacked once in those three games that Tooney played left tackle, the whole line looked better. I think you have to keep him because of that. It's consistent with the last month. You want to be have some sort of consistency too, especially at the offensive line, where there's just so many moving parts. I mean, the cons of Tooney, I think we brought it up. I mean, you're taking him away from being the best left guard in football, and the run game could be affected. And I've heard that a lot from the text line.
They don't run the ball, though.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. They don't run the football, man. They've got Patrick Mahomes.
They should, but they don't.
Yeah, sure. They should establish it more, but at the end of the day, they don't. And when they win a Super Bowl this season and they three-peat, it's not going to be because, man, Andy Reid, way to establish the run with Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt.
Man, he's got the MVP.
4.7 yards a carry. They couldn't stop them. No, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. That's what it's going to be, because that's what it should be. Doesn't mean they shouldn't run some more, but I don't know. I think that brings us, Drew, to should Mahomes have a say? after these pros and cons, they're bringing this all up. They're looking at them in practice. They're in the boardroom, and Bob Fesco and Dusty, you listen to 6 to 10 in the morning. He brought it up this morning. How he said that he's heard from with inside the building that it's a daily conversation that they are talking about a lot there. So in those conversations, I would imagine that Mahomes is a part of some of them, right?
Yeah, because so when we played Patrick Mahomes earlier, yesterday actually, he was asked about it. He's like, look, you know, Coach Reed's going to make the right decision. He's going to say all the right things. You know, Coach Reed's going to make the right decision. I have trust in whoever he picks, but you should know good and well, as you and I suspect and as Bob suspects and he's hearing, Patrick Mahomes is very involved in this decision, where if it's Friday and Andy's like, hey, Pat, who do you want? Like, I think in the end, honestly, dead serious, Patrick Mahomes should have the final say in this, not Andy Reid. I understand that he's the head coach. But if Patrick is more comfortable with Joe Tooney at left tackle, because as and I know that he, if Andy Reid's like, look, I have the final say and it's going to be this guy, Mahomes is fine with it. I totally get him. But I think in the end, who are you more comfortable in playing with, Patrick? Are you more comfortable in stepping in the pocket and being feeling like you have more time to throw with DJ Humphries, or you have more time to throw with Joe Tooney? And I think that for all the reasons that we said, including the reason is, well, not only a consistency aspect, but the line, I think the rest of the line is comfortable in that role. Like, it's not like you're switching to him because DJ Humphries got hurt and you're coming into the first start where, hey, Joe Tooney came in and he was okay. He has to play left tackle. They've known this for a couple of weeks now, and he's played really well. If you look at the scoreline again, Joe Tooney comes in 21-7, 27-19 and a comfortable victory over Houston, 29-10. They've been very good. Patrick Mahomes has looked really good as well.
Hit a deep ball.
Why would you mess it up? I know that DJ Humphries has his natural position. I know that you might want to play Tooney at guard. But to me, you can also make the switch back to, hey, Caliendo is really struggling. You know, we need to move Tooney back to left guard, and then we need to put DJ Humphries at tackle. You can always go back to that. I think you should start out with what you've known best and what has worked for you a lot here over the last few weeks, and that's been Joe Tooney at left tackle. Caliendo hadn't been great, but it's not like he's been so bad or he's getting pancaked on his butt a second after the snap comes comes Mahomes' way. I just think Tooney's the guy. I wouldn't want to mess it up. The line's comfortable with it. He's had plenty of time. He's played all season. Somebody mentions from the 0-6, I think DJ has a conditioning issue. He was gassed before he left that game. That also is a concern, because if you're gassed, guess what happens? If you're gassed and your defense forces a turnover,
yep, you're right back on.
You got to get right back on the field, and you got to protect, and you got to go up against Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson again, and those boys are going to be turned up for the entire game.
And to the 816's point, I think you're correct. At the end of the day, I don't think it really matters whether you're right that he has a conditioning issue. He's not conditioned well enough right now. I think that's fair. I don't think necessarily he has a conditioning. He's a 350-pound man who hasn't played football, and he's been on his couch. Like, it's going to take more time.
The first game he played, he got hurt. He has not played a full game at all yet for the Kansas City Chiefs. He hasn't played one. Because the one game he got hurt, then he was out, and then he came in for the Denver game, but wasn't in there the whole game.
Didn't play the whole game. Exactly. No, it's we have ran out of ramp up time. I know on paper, yes, DJ Humphries is the best option, but we are not on paper anymore. It's January 15th.
It's go time.
From the 816, they'll start Humphries, but scheme everything to minimize risk to Patrick or turnovers. Listen,
that sounds good and well, but then as far as the deep shot's concerned, you're not taking a deep shot if you're scheming a game plan up for a guy that potentially could not protect you long enough. Everything deep is not there anymore.
And I don't want to be worrying about left tackle the whole time when making an offensive game plan in the playoffs.
That's a good point. I'm worried about the defense.
Hey,
we
can't run that play because of DJ, so we might have to do something else. Or, oh, hey, actually, the tight end's on this side. We're going to have to move him to the left because we're going to have to move that.
We need to give DJ some help.
What's going on? No. Because they're already doing that with Joe Tooney. They did that with DJ, too, by the way. It didn't work as well. He's not ready. I was all for DJ, by the way. I loved this signing. I thought it was awesome.
The signing was good initially. Yeah, it made sense.
I thought he was going to be the left tackle this season. It just didn't work out. And if he got signed instead of week 10 or whatever at week 4, and now this was happening not at week 20 but week 12. Okay, cool. Like, we're great. Have another month and a half for him to get healthy and figure this out, and he'll eventually be the starting left tackle of the Chiefs, but there isn't that time anymore. So I think at this point, you know, and you mentioned the worst case scenario of he lets someone by and that ankle tweaks, Mahomes gets hurt. Now, that's just the worst case, right? That's terrible. But, and I'm sure a lot of texters are saying, oh, well, that's not going to happen. Come on, come on. All right, fine. Maybe not the worst case, but let's just say Texans start with the ball. They go down the field 7-0, as we so often see from the Chiefs defense. They kind of get adjusted as the game goes. They get better. And then all of a sudden, Will Anderson goes around DJ Humphreys, strip sack fumble, and now all of a sudden it's 14-0. That's very plausible and not the worst case scenario. And now you're like, oh, okay, let's bring Tooney in. Down 14-0. No.
After one possession, you might as well start a Tooney in the first place.
Yes, you might. Exactly. And that is plausible. Let's just not mess with it. Now, at the end of the day, after all that's said and done, if Andy Reid starts DJ Humphreys, I'm going to trust him. But, man, that's a risk. That is a risk.
Yeah, I don't see why you would go. I don't know why you would go to DJ Humphreys other than going back to 5 weeks ago. Well, we brought him in for this reason. I don't think there's any other reason over the last 4 weeks that's shown you, man, we really got to play this guy at left tackle. There's not one reason. Like, Caliendo's been fine enough.
He has. He's been.
Now, again, like I said, though, if you start Tooney at left tackle and Caliendo is getting shredded, you might have to make a decision and be like, you know what, we're going to sacrifice it and just deal with DJ because we think he can be better with Tooney at left guard than Caliendo is in the interior.
And Caliendo
maybe
will,
it gets to that point.
And he'll have a tough assignment. He'll be going up against Denico Autry, who was not healthy in that first matchup in week 16. Denico Autry is back. He's a beast. So that is a matchup to watch. But again, like, you can get interior help. Creed can slide over. Like, things can happen. And at the end of the day, I think the left tackle is just more important. I think Mahomes can deal with the interior pressure better than maybe anyone.
Somebody from the 816 said 14's nothing. Or is too easy. Remember, we came back from 24. Whole different team. If they're down 14 points, they can come back. But I'm telling,
I'm not worried. It's just,
but I know. But if they're down 14 points in the second half, I hate to tell you this. I don't know if the Chiefs are winning. I don't know if this.
Oh,
I don't.
Come on.
I don't know if they're winning that game.
Come on,
they're
man.
They're 14 in the second half.
You've seen this movie before.
In 2019, when they had Tyreek Hill and a prime Travis Kelce, way different, and no offensive line problems. I think it's a lot different. I don't think you can make that comparison.
I think you can totally make that comparison, 816. The difference is I don't want to be down 14-0 ever. It doesn't matter that they can come back. I don't want the Chiefs to be down 14-0 and be going with a game plan that leaves them more plausible to be down 14-0. So let's just not let it happen. But I do need to knock some sense into Drew, because obviously he's forgotten.
I'm sorry, my fandom came out for about 20 seconds. Sorry.
All right. Well, we'll remind Drew after the break of Patrick LeVon Mahomes, the superpowers that come alive in January. His short-term legacy won't be affected ever, but we've got some quarterbacks who might have their short-term legacy have been affected these last couple of weeks. I want to talk about it with you guys. 913-586-7965. Mac Morey, Drew Nixon, Jacob Mustard with you till 9 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. After Hours here, Jacob Mustard, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey with you till 9 o'clock. Just got done talking pros and cons of the left tackle. Joe Tooney, is it DJ Humphreys? Who's it going to be? We still don't know. Andy Reid and company is not going to tell us jack diddly until game time. So really, we'll know when you know, and we'll be with you when we find out on the extended pregame show with Drew Nixon and myself Saturday, 9 to noon, right here, 96.5
The Fan. All Chiefs for 3 hours.
All Chiefs. It's Drew's worst nightmare. But I did hear.
No,
I did,
no, it's, clowns, it's clowns. Three hours with just clowns just in a room, please.
Ooh, yeah, that's terrible. That sounds awful.
It's close though.
What's that's a good question. We'll have a good.
Your worst nightmare happened a little bit over the weekend, though.
It's a good segue.
Your boy.
Damn it.
Your boy.
Damn it. I got multiple texts about it too. Both my boys.
Did you really?
Oh, of course. I mean, Jordan Love was my preseason MVP.
I like Jordan Love a lot.
He was my preseason MVP. Didn't work out. Turnover issue this season, the injury, all the things. And then Justin Herbert, I mean, you and I have gone to town, toe to toe,
boy,
about Justin Herbert. And I've been adamant that he's a top 6-7 quarterback in this league. Did not look the part this last weekend. Didn't look good.
I've said Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. They both were bad this week.
They both looked bad. Who would you say, whose short-term legacy? Now, they're young. They're going to be able to get past this. We're such recency bias in sports to where, oh, Herbert screwed. Is Harbaugh upset? Is he having second thoughts? Like, no.
Are they going to trade up for it? No.
Well, yeah, like, what's happening? No, he's one of the more talented quarterbacks in the league. Harbaugh still believes in him. He's going to try and figure out whatever happens in the playoffs with Justin Herbert. And again, these sample sizes are so small. We're talking about two effing games for Justin Herbert. That is it. Both times he was at a talent deficit in those matchups. He was favored, but his teams were less talented
than Jacksonville.
I believe so.
Everybody was on the Chargers.
On the Chargers this weekend too,
except for me. I did pick Houston to win.
Did a good pick. I was all over the Chargers covering too. Good job. So whose short-term legacy took a bigger hit after this weekend?
I think it is Justin Herbert.
Okay.
And this is the reason why. So, after the show today, after Cody and going on podcasting, and I, tend to find clips or whatever just in general on sports takes while we're on there. And RG3 was joining Dan Patrick, and I thought he brought up something that was interesting. We need to start holding Justin Herbert accountable a little bit more as media. Not Justin Herbert holding himself accountable, because after the game he said, look, this is all on me. Like, I was awful. I need to be better in every way, shape, or form. The reason why I say this is because I think there are some people, and I don't know if you include yourself in this group, Mac, or not, but people who really think he is or want him to be a top 5 to 7 quarterback. Like, you have Mahomes, you have Burrow, you have Allen, you have Lamar Jackson. And then a lot of times the name that's next mentioned is Justin Herbert. Like, oh, yeah, it's Justin Herbert. But, but you're not – I think we have to give some more thought to it, where we need to hold him better. Like, not that he's the golden boy, but in a way, people want him to be, like, the next guy up. But outside of those four, where, you know, in that group, it could be Dak. It could be, it was Tua at one point, was Trevor Lawrence at one point. Like, who can be that guy that can join that, you know, quadrant of quarterbacks, if you will? I just think that one of the conversations is looking at the things that he has around him. A lot of times it's been, well, he had Brandon Staley, you know? It's like, not to say that it wasn't all Brandon Staley, and it was only Justin Herbert. But, well, he had a bad coach. And the next time, well, he doesn't have any weapons. He's only got Ladd McConkey. He didn't even have a tight end. That's great. They got Will Disley back there. He doesn't have an organization. The Chargers have never really won anything. They've been to the playoffs, and they wet the bed. They just figure out how to do that. The Chargers are charging. You saw that
Chargers, all across
social media over the weekend. He doesn't have the defense. They've been in and out. Khalil Mack can't stay healthy. Joey Bosa's never on the field either. Khalil Mack is at the end of his prime.
These
he's considering retirement now. That's all the conversation.
These are great points.
But none of it is Justin Herbert can't just win the game and overcome those things.
Yep.
I don't want to make it into a conversation about another quarterback who's in the top four, but there is one quarterback who is criticized more often amidst losing games, even though he's putting up MVP numbers. You know who that quarterback is. I'm not going to say his name, but Justin Herbert, I think, should be in that same light where he statistically is tearing it up. Justin Herbert is putting up mega numbers. He has done his entire career. But when it comes down to it, he's shrunk in the moment. And while it's not necessarily just him, he can't have a game like he did on Sunday where he's part of the
beat.
He's a big part of the reason. Like, if Herbert would have gone out 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and they still lose, man, let's talk about what we need to get around Justin Herbert to make him really thrive. Can
need
you imagine?
More talent. Yep.
But for him to have that sort of a game, I think it definitely hurt his legacy a little bit more, where I agree with you, Mac. It's a small sample size. And Jordan Love, small sample size as well. But I really wonder, when are we going to start saying, you know, Justin Herbert's got to show up in these games? Like, Lamar Jackson, not great postseason. Lamar has gotten to an AFC title game, at least. And again, you can start with the other excuses for good reasons why Lamar has been there. Josh Allen, look at his wide receiver room. His defense has been always good. You know, you can make maybe less excuses for Josh Allen because he's always had the collective group unit defensively, offensive line-wise, had Stephon Diggs and all that other stuff. But when are we going to start holding Justin Herbert a little bit more accountable for things? It's just my question. I think his legacy is taking a bigger hit because people are kind of starting to come into that light more, where if they make the playoffs again next year, Mac, and they wet the bed again, or Justin Herbert's bad again, then I think it really is going to impact how we view him as a, I mean, if he's even in that conversation of top 5 to 7 quarterbacks anymore, or even worthy of being in the conversation, whether he is or not.
I think there's no question the short-term, you're right, it was Herbert, because last year at least, Love was great. I mean, he's the first 7 seed to win a playoff game on the road, beat the Cowboys, took the Lions to the fourth quarter. That was a great game. The Niners. I believe that was the Niners. Yes, the Niners. Oh, man, the Packers should have won that game. And Jordan Love played incredible in that game.
They should have.
Almost went to the NFC Championship, where they would have had a good shot against the Lions. So Love at least has that on his record. And also, you know, you talk about last weekend, he's facing maybe the best defense in football in the Philadelphia Eagles. Whereas Justin Herbert was facing what I was calling before the playoffs, and I was wrong, the worst team I think that was in the playoffs, the Houston Texans. And Herbert looked terrible, 43% completion, one touchdown pass, four interceptions, three of which were his fault. From the 913, I don't think you can rationally think of Herbert as a top five or six QB anymore. I get it. Another text from 913. I think he's a great quarterback, but he can't keep having playoff performances like this. I think Herbert's legacy took a bigger hit because now his supporters can't argue the hypotheticals, you know, and I'm one of those guys. And you're right. I do think that's fair. I also think it's fair to say, you know what? He's 26 years old. He hasn't had great teams around him. We can give him more time. We don't need to be out on Justin Herbert. I think he has time to turn around from the 816. Did Peyton Manning's legacy take a hit? He's been in the league for just a few years now. He has time. Completely agree, 816. There's time to figure this out. I'm not worried about Justin Herbert, but I wouldn't put him as top five or seven QB. I mean, honestly, you named the top four. The top four are solidified. Now, you can argue the order of 2 through 4, but because number one is Patrick Mahomes, just so you know. You already
1A.
Yeah, exactly. 1A. Okay, no. It's 1 gap, 2 gap to me, and then 3 and 4. And then who's number five? Because I think number five...
It's an interesting conversation.
I think it's Matthew Stafford. I think that is the surefire right now, number five.
Really hard to argue that.
Yeah,
right? You almost can't argue
exactly.
It. The thing, though, it's hard, though, because you want to argue it in a way, because if he's not... like if he doesn't have Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp, very mediocre. Matt Stafford's like a 15, like top 15. He's a, but when he's got his full crew of boys, there's not many quarterbacks who are better than him. There's not, I mean, he is dealing to everybody. Kyren Williams out of the backfield.
Oh, so good.
To Cooper Kupp had his first catch in the fourth quarter of that game, and they were winning 27-9.
Am I done betting on Cooper Kupp?
I've learned that the hard way this year. I have bet him a couple of times.
Me too.
Simple, like receptions. I don't even bet him on yards anymore. I have like Cooper.
I had him for
like
40 yards, man. I'm not even doing a lot.
Like I got Cooper on the alt line at like 3 catches. He didn't even, there's a game he didn't even have, like the one game he didn't have a single catch. It's like, all right,
and
this is bad luck.
When the books aren't reacting to those numbers, so the lines on him, you're not even getting juicy value. I don't know. I don't know what to do with Cooper Kupp.
Just don't bet him on him this weekend, because this will be the game where he actually snaps.
He's going to have 100 yards. Yeah, he's going to have 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. From the 913, have a good show, boys. Just remember, Barbershop's listening and ready to reply to your discussion. Hey, thank you, Barbershop. Appreciate you, brother.
Shout out to, by the way, happy belated birthday, Barbershop.
Yes, happy belated birthday, man. Hope it was a good one.
Go Bengals.
Okay, had to slip that in there. Sorry, man. I can't control. I don't have his mic. I don't have his mic number. Okay, so I'd say Matthew Stafford. You'd agree with that?
Yes, I think.
I mean, who else, man? CJ Stroud would be probably number six for me.
Is he that high, though?
I mean, dude, who else? Is it Jared Goff?
I think it's hard to argue a quarterback that's not in the playoffs just because they're not in the playoffs, but...
It's not Jalen Hurts.
I
still love Jordan Love. I'm a Jordan Love apologist, so maybe I'd put him there.
Ooh, but, how about this name, Jane Daniels? You could put Jane Daniels there.
Again, that's fine. Early. It's hot take, but you're right. Like that's where we're at. Like it's a hodgepodge, man.
Jaden Daniels is absolutely top eight. I'd be very tempted to put him. I'm tempted to put him at five, honestly, or tempted to put him at six. I think he's in the realm of discussion. I'm gonna be honest.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
If they go and they beat Detroit.
Damn.
If they go and they beat Detroit this weekend, I would feel comfortable saying Jaden Daniels is a top five quarterback.
Jeez, this is nuts. That's early, man.
That man's got some extra juice, man.
Yeah. So you just like Jaden because CJ, you're like, wow, he's already there. And Jaden Daniels, who's a rookie, you're like, yep.
I think that's part of it because I think CJ Stroud should be in the discussion because he's putting up similar numbers to that of last year when everybody was freaking out about how good CJ Stroud was. He's putting up a similar season. It just doesn't look as good. In fairness, the offensive line, not to make an excuse for CJ Stroud, but the offensive line stinks. Like other than Laramie Tunsil.
That's true.
Other than Laramie Tunsil, which is another reason why I think we're comfortable with the Chiefs winning this weekend.
They'll be able to get after CJ. Yes.
But I think a lot of judging quarterbacks, I think partially is relying on external factors. Like, Mahomes isn't viewed as a top quarter. He's not viewed as a top quarterback this season by the national media because, well, he's not putting up the same numbers as we're used to. Well, there's external factors as to why Patrick Mahomes is not putting up the same numbers as you traditionally have seen from him. Offensive line is absolutely a part of the reason. Wide receiver room, absolutely part of that reason as well. So, you know, I think that the way that we view quarterbacks, and some of it might be Justin Herbert as well, or we gas somebody up a little bit because they have one really good season. There's a lot of external factors that go into it. And yes, I agree, 6-6-0. In hindsight, it's easy to say this, but I think some people were already on that bandwagon of Jaden Daniels should have gone number one.
No.
To the Bears.
No.
You don't think so?
No. I'm still very, very, very in on Caleb Williams.
I would have taken Caleb Williams, but I'd have been very... I was close to saying, you know, Jaden Daniels actually makes a lot of sense.
Jaden Daniels is awesome. I get it, but I still am very infatuated with Caleb Williams. He needs a better situation.
He just needs the right coach. The Bears could single-handedly ruin his career.
Yes.
If they hire their own coach.
This is going to be, I hope they hire an experienced guy. I think it was Cody Tapp saying that on your guys' show yesterday or something.
He thinks Mike McCarthy actually wouldn't be a bad hire at all.
And I'm so anti-Mike McCarthy, but I agree. I actually agree. Like, Give them a Pete Carroll. Give them an experience.
How about
experience.
Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame? Huh?
I like Marcus Freeman a lot. I just think for
some
the Bears,
on
I
the
want.
Line on Monday.
I know. Well, Marcus Freeman, he played for the Bears, so there's that too. From the 816, who was 2-4? It's pretty easy. So again,
1B is Joe Burrow.
No, don't listen to him. Stop this. There's no real order. I don't care what order you have. One is Mahomes, and then 2-4 in whatever order you want to argue and sort out is Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. Those are the top four quarterbacks, and there really isn't an argument.
Oh, no.
Those are the top four. Now, again, put them in the order 2-4. The argument number one, you're
I don't know how. I don't
idiot.
Know how you can argue those four are hands
it.
Down
it's
the,
it.
The best.
It's objective. It's in, they're all in the AFC, which is another conversation. For the 9-1-3, yeah. Baker Mayfield's an inconsistent game changer, but he's got to be top eight.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's close. I mean, it's tough. I think we had another text from the 913. NFL QB pool is shallow. Herbert is top eight by default. I'm there with you, 913. But the point is, this QB pool is shallow. Like, after five or six, it's like, okay, who is it? Like, you're bringing up a rookie right now. Like, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but that just proves the point.
Real quick before you go to break, do you think Patrick Mahomes was labeled as a top five wide receiver his first starting season?
Yes.
So I don't think it's that far fetched to say.
Whoa.
I know that you're comparing him to Patrick Mahomes' second season. But however, if they beat Detroit, do you consider him to be a top five? Because he makes it to an NFC title game just like Patrick Mahomes made it to an AFC championship game.
I don't know.
Amidst a quote unquote better conference, because yes, the quarterbacks aren't there, but team wise, record wise, there's more consistency in that conference.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. It depends on how the game goes.
I think
goes.
You can make an argument that Jaden Daniels is top five in the league if they win this game against Detroit.
I don't know. I'm just not there. Also, the Patrick Mahomes comparison, I'm still just kind of wrapping my head around.
I'm not saying he is
half
Patrick
the
Mahomes.
Touchdown passes, by the way. 25. Half.
I
3,500 yards to 5,000.
I understand. He's also ran the ball very effectively.
Yes.
The man reminds me of Lamar Jackson. Like, there are the way he plays, the way that you almost have to game plan for him to do both things, which obviously is extremely hard to do. And he's got Scary Terry.
Yeah, he ran for Zach Ertz. He ran for 890 yards. It's insane. It's insane. 900 yards.
Oh,
so he had 4,400 total yards for him. And I'll add those touchdowns.
Yeah,
six
man,
touchdowns.
That's crazy.
So 31 touchdowns. Again, still not shaking a stick at what Patrick Mahomes did that first season. But I understand the argument. I do think Jaden Daniels is great. And I think there is a chance that he could surge his way up. I think the point is, though, that it's a hodgepodge. It's a mixed bag, and it's a complete open season.
There's four or five guys that you can argue for that five spot.
I think maybe even more.
Maybe.
I think there's probably six or seven. I think that's how wide of an array of a gap we have between the top four and everyone else. So really the top five, because I'm sticking Stafford in there, but then everyone else... from the 765, you're right. We forgot about this, man. We totally forgot, Drew. Number five is Will Levis, hands down.
I think that's my dad texting. You know, I'm literally not joking. I think that's him.
Yes, Mr. Nixon. Great text. Well, take the day off. Well, it's 7:50, but take the day. There you go. 913-586-7965 to keep being a part of the show. When we come back, we only got a little bit of a time, but we're going to talk national title game. It's set 6:30 p.m. on Monday, Ohio State, Notre Dame. We'll talk about it. It's After Hours. Your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. You're listening to 96.5, The Fan, from the Mission Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Studios.
Welcome back here, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Jacob Mustard with the tunes, producing the show. Drew Nixon, myself, Mac Morey, with you for a little over an hour till 9 o'clock here on your home for Kansas City sports. Been talking a lot of Chiefs, moving over to college football. Because that national title is set. It's coming Monday.
Let's 6:30
p.m., baby. Drew, your time's here. Ohio State, Notre Dame. We only got a couple minutes, but there are a crap ton of storylines. Hit me with them.
Okay, so Ryan Day can solidify his legacy as an Ohio State head coach. I know that he's gotten so much criticism. People are calling for him to be fired after the loss to Michigan. If he wins a national title, he is etched into Ohio State lore forever. His record obviously is very good. Why would you fire him? Everybody asking these questions to the fan base. Kirk Herbstreit's getting criticized for calling out the fan base. If he wins a national title, he's one of the best coaches in Ohio State history, just from that standpoint, record-wise, and also he brought you a national title while also, as you mentioned, never beating Michigan. Kind of crazy. Marcus Freeman went to Ohio State facing his alma mater. Also, Marcus Freeman can become the first black coach. Him and James Franklin were going for the first black coach to ever coach in a national title. Marcus Freeman wins. He can become the first black coach ever to win a national title in the history of college football.
Pretty awesome.
If they win, also, if Marcus Freeman wins, speaking of like etched in history, you win a title at Notre Dame, he should have a statue built immediately.
Yep.
As soon as, even if he's still coaching he is one of the best coaches in the country, and he's also one of the most liked as well, which is really cool.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's made Notre Dame likable to the neutral
fan.
Which
I never in my life thought I would ever get to that point.
Me either, but I like Notre Dame now because of him.
I got a Fanatics gift card, and I bought a Play Like a Champion shirt, and it almost made me throw up in my mouth.
Wow.
I was disgusted.
Ew. But you do that with a bunch. You have a bunch of college stuff. That's kind of one of your things.
Correct. Yeah, it falls in line. But Lou Holtz also and Ryan Day have some history. Lou Holtz tweeted this out, Mac. I think you'll appreciate this. If Notre Dame doesn't win, it's because we want to preserve Ryan Day's job.
Wow.
I was originally going to be at the game in spirit, but now I'll be dragging my body along as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Yo, if they win the game, I need to see Lou Holtz has got to get, if he's walking, I need to see a face-to-face meeting between those two. Oh my gosh. I would love to see that. But I think it brings in a lot of also big brands. Like it's Notre Dame. Massive deal. Great fan base. Massive fan base. Ohio State, you love them or you hate them. That's kind of the storyline maybe of this whole national title. You either love Ohio State or you really hate Ohio State. You either love Notre Dame or you hate Notre Dame. But there's a lot of more people, as to your point, Mac. People tend to like Notre Dame more now, which is kind of nuts. But Marcus Freeman is what it took to get them to that point. I don't know if you've heard the Hall of Fame, the halftime speech that he gave in that game against Penn State.
Yeah, yes.
It gets your juices going. If you haven't listened to it, you got to look it up, man.
I could see on Sundays.
He's somebody I would want to play for as just a head coach to fire you up to treat you the way that a coach should in terms of developing you as an individual, developing you as a player. I think the game's going to be really good. I think Ohio State's going to win, though. Okay. I think it'll be 24-21. I think Ohio State's talent is just too much, but I think the game's going to be tight.
I think I'm going to root for Notre Dame in this game.
I'm not rooting for anybody. I'm sticking to my guns there. I'm not pulling for anybody. Although I was raised in a hate Ohio State household, so the household will be cheering for Notre Dame, which is crazy because they also don't
know,
like Notre Dame.
No one likes Notre Dame. Yeah, I think I'm going to root for Notre Dame, but I also, I just want a good game more than anything. I do have a fear that Ohio State pulls away and makes this a blowout. We'll see. 6:30 p.m. Monday. Drew will be lathered up, ready to go. It's going to be a fun one.
That's right. I'm going to be pinned to my couch. I'm not going to go anywhere. I will make sure I watch every single solitary second.
Yes, twee in hand for me. Okay. Coming up.
New 249 miles of college football podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I forgot. Yes. Absolutely. Out now, you said?
Yep. It was released a couple hours ago.
Covering the Natty.
We're in the second of three reviews of the season. Did Kansas last week, Kansas State today, and then next week we are going to review the season for Missouri as well.
And speaking of Kansas, Kansas basketball right now down 7 with 3 minutes to go.
It's a tight one.
At Iowa State. Yes, at number 2, Iowa State, 55-62. With just a few minutes left to go, the Jayhawks trying to find their way back in that game. Coming up, out of left field question, we'll get it to you. How much money would it take to say, you know what, deal? 913-586-7965. Be a part of the conversation right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.